the red light. There you go. Amen. Well, I want to welcome everyone that's here tonight. Keep your hearts opened. Keep it wide open. Hopefully the Lord, not hopefully, I know God is going to meet you where you're at and answer a cry within yourself. And with that being said, those that are listening around the world and in the nations, I want to welcome you and God bless you and bless the nations. I know that the nations are crying out. The world is actually crying out, desiring to know God. And I want to bring the world around to know who my God is, because my God is different than the world's God. My God is the true living God that not many, I believe, know Him. But we're going to change that, because we're going to introduce the world to my God. My God is actually your God, and it's been your God since the day you were born. Before even the foundations of the world has been created, He's been your God, but you just never knew it. And that's what's the difference. And then because you didn't know it, you ended up getting deceived and end up creating a different God, the God that is different than my God. And you'd called it God and worshiped it and followed it through laws and through traditions. And I'm hoping to tear all that down, because it's time now. It's time to break open the prison's doors and set the captives free. Amen? That's how I feel. Now, I want you to know that it's time to break the prison door open and open up another door. And I got the keys. I got the keys to open up this door that I believe not many people were able to open up, because these keys are what? Knowledge. Without these keys, you cannot open up these doors. So I want you to open up your heart, and I want to open up your ears and begin to hear what the Spirit has to say through myself. So if you hear these words, they're not coming from Jim. They're coming from my God speaking to you, because His love for you is far beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. And the life that He has inside of you is far beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. The life that He has for you is incredible. And the way we get there is opening up a new door. Opening up a new door, and I hold the keys. And I'm so happy that I hold the keys, because I was able to have my door opened up. He opened up my door. I wasn't able to open up my own door. He opened up my own door and made me free and allowed me to come into a place. And this place has allowed me to discover a life that I never knew I had. This place allowed me to discover who I really am. And I want all of us here and those that are listening to come into this place. I was talking to my girls a little earlier today about this place. And the book here called the Bible is the closest book that I was able to experience and read that is very close to my encounter, my experience. And I love this book. And in this book, the place that it's referring to is called the Kingdom of God. How many of people have heard about the Kingdom of God? Good. I would hope most of us here that are here heard of it. But do we really understand what it is? That's the question. And the Kingdom of God is established inside of you. And what steals us away, and I love my brother John here because he's tapping into it, and what steals us away from this place is called cares. And we are so caught up with cares that we don't really realize how we're so consumed and lied to by these cares. And God wants us to cast every bit of our cares away. All of us are built with something inside of us. It's His plan, His will, His desire, everything. And we take it personal, and we say to ourselves, man, I want something more. I know that there's something more there for me. I really want to do something. But I don't know what it is. None of us know what it is. It's a mystery. But we do know that there's something there, a deep, deep desire. And we begin to start creating an imagination. An imagination based on cares. Well, I need this, I need that. Tradition tells me I need this and I need that, and I got to do this and I got to do that. Tradition and my geographical location and my religion tells me I need to do this, I need to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that. When in reality, we're missing. We're missing something. The kingdom of God. We're never entering into this place, and we're never getting established in it. And this place is inside, buried deep inside of us. It's almost like a city and a town that hasn't been built. And it's vacant. The ground is vacant, and we got to go in there and clear it out. We got to go in and clear it, maybe tear out some trees. How many people understand what I'm talking about? We got trees, well rooted, well grounded, well established, ancient trees. Some have ancient buildings. We have built fortresses and we live in them. And the kingdom is this beautiful paradise right next to the land that we dwell in, and we can't even see it. It's like the neighbor next door with a beautiful landscape and everything else, and we can't even see it because we got this fortress that we built and we dwell inside of it. And some of us, we dwell so deep inside of our own fortress that we have never seen the light of day. And the light of day is literally being able to have a very happy, peaceful day. How many of those out there and those that are listening have never had a really good day? Think about it. You might have had a happy day, and it maybe lasts for a moment. But I'm talking about a really good day. They don't even exist to half of us. It's unheard of. No way. You can't have a good day for 48 hours. It's impossible. I'm talking about literally laughing and drunk and having a good time. Only when you're away, maybe escaping, coming out of your fortress for a moment. You might have stepped on the kingdom of God's soil for a second. How would you like to dwell there all the time? I got the keys. And I would love to have you come into the kingdom of God and dwell. And this is the desire of my God. My God wants you to come into this place called paradise. It's an eternal place, too, I'm going to tell you right now. It's a place where we'll all be established forever. And that's why I share with the world that it's very important that we find the kingdom of God while we're on this earth, so that when we do leave this earth, we're not stuck. Because I don't believe there's any more room to grow. There's no transformation. You can't, buy a new lot. After this life, that's it. You're done. You can't move on. You're established for eternity. And this is why it's so important to hear what I'm saying and establish your life in with my God. This is why I'm born. I'm born for this message. This word is being released in this generation, this time, right now. I dwelt and meditated, and I asked God, why did you do what you did in my life? Why? And he says, because I have a word that has been birthed since the foundations of the world that has never been released yet. And you're the jackass, the mule that was called to carry the word till now. And it's a place where God dwells, and he wants to establish his house in your heart so that you will be able to have a place for eternity, for eternity. You know, in this book, Jesus spoke a lot of parables, and he was a man that had the knowledge, had the keys to the kingdom of God. And he said that he was going to leave, and he's going to prepare a place for you, and if it wasn't so, he would never say so. And what he was saying is he's going to release some keys, release some mysteries, release some revelation, so that you would have a place prepared for a life not so much here, but also eternity. Now, I don't want to talk too much about eternity. I don't want to talk about life after death, because if I can establish the kingdom of God in you now, I don't have to be concerned about later. I don't need to make it an issue. I know there's a lot of, you know, ministers out there that have a call and they, you know, feel as though that they need to talk a lot about life after death, but why? Doesn't make sense to me. Let's talk about now. Let's get the kingdom of God established now. What robs us from entering to this land, this plot of land, is cares. 99.9% of coming into this place all has to do with cares. Another thing that causes us to not enter into this place is also, I want to say, not being honest with ourselves and not getting out of our head. We need to take a step back for a moment and get out of the race that we're in. We're running a race and we don't even realize that we're running it. We're being tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine that is established in our head. And from there, it enters our heart and it establishes our heart in a place. What we need to do is we need to come to a place where we get out of our head. This is almost impossible for some of us. Because why? Cares. If you want to gain a life, you got to lose it. And that is the most hardest thing that anybody can ever do. Because right away, they get afraid, they get scared. They start saying to themselves, but you don't understand. I got to pay all these bills. I have people that depend on me. I want to get to point A, but I can't get there without B. I need this, and I need that, and I need that, and I need this. And you have every right to feel the way you do. I'm going to tell you right now. That's the nature of, how do you say, carnality? I'm going to keep it sweet. I don't want to offend anyone. And God is calling us to come to him in his place. And that's, I would say, immortality. Is that right? The spiritual place? the non-spiritual place is mortality, right? Okay, I get those two confused sometimes. I don't know why. But immortality is the spiritual place where this land is and where God is and where you are, where you are. You're made up of a spirit. It's so hard for us to understand this. It's so hard for us to believe it. It's so hard for us to live it. But it's so true. And God wants us, my God, wants us to live in a spirit. 24/7. But in the spirit, you have a certain lifestyle that has to be lived. For one, honesty. God is honesty. God is truth. And in order to live with Him, we have to adapt honesty and we have to adapt truth. Now everyone feels as though that they have to do something, don't you? Well, we don't have to do anything. Because in the Spirit, God is our all provision. How many people realize that God is our everything? And He provides everything that you need. But if our hearts aren't established and our hearts aren't in that place, in the kingdom, we can never have God supply our need. Because He dwells in the kingdom. And He can only give you resources in the kingdom. He can't give you resources outside of the kingdom. You have to pour in there. You have to pour into the kingdom in order to get your needs supplied. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? Amen. And so if we don't come into the kingdom, then God can't give us what we need. Cares take us out of the kingdom. There's not a problem about having wants. Listen, I have a lot of, I guess you would say, cares. And there's nothing wrong with having cares. First thing we have to do is discern what a care is from the world and you living in the world. And then what is a care and a need in the kingdom? Okay? First, establish this. The world and the place that you live in is a mirror image of the kingdom of God. The only thing different is that you have established a life that is uncertain, unsure, no confidence, scared, full of fear. Almost to the point where you have to do it all or it don't get done. You're built up in manipulation. You're built up in being a con artist. You lie. You cheat. You steal. You do whatever you need to do to fight for survival. And it's not wrong. It's right, it's completely right when you're in the jungle all alone. And that's where we are. We dwell in a land that is vicious. It wants to rip you up. You can't trust anybody. You got to fight for everything. Am I making any sense? Good. And it's nothing but a battle. It's nothing but warfare and a battle. And you know what? It's our way of life. And if it wasn't our way of life, we would be lying, wouldn't we? And there's nothing wrong. Because we live in the world. And we have to do those things if we live in the world. But God is saying, there's no need for you to live in the world anymore. Come live with me.
Come live with me. And where I am established is a land filled with milk and honey. A promised land. A land that it has everything that you hope and desire, and it's already there waiting for you. And there's no battle. There's no fight. This is why no one, 99.9%, I don't believe, live in this kingdom. Because it's virtually impossible to think this way. It's literally virtually impossible to come from one place being trapped, being all alone, being in a part that is all you know is how to hunt and rip flesh apart. All you know how to do is eat with your hands. How many people have ever saw a movie called, I think it was like Jungle Boy or something? Okay? A little boy got lost in the jungle and had to grow up in the jungle with the animals. And then civilization came around, found this little jungle boy, and he was just a raving raccoon with rabies. You know, you couldn't hold on to him. How many people have saw that? Okay. Well, this is exactly a mirror image of what I'm talking about. We're that little boy or little girl who has been dropped off into the jungle to learn how to survive with the beast of the air. And we don't know anything other than survival. And we live this lie. And all we do is fight and gnaw and try to protect ourselves to survive. And God is saying, he's the civil one that came from a land of America or a land of milk and honey, a beautiful place, let's say, or a beautiful foreign ground somewhere out in the Pacific. That's real beautiful and civil and has everything you can possibly dream of, full of love and care, and would never hurt you, never cause you to lack anything. You have it all. And he's trying to pluck you out of that jungle that you live in and try to put you into that place. He wants us to calm down. He wants us to stop acting like a crazy lunatic. And he wants us to come into a place that is peaceful. And a place that he knows, well, we know, that everything's going to be okay. And so there's a lot of adapting and a lot of things that we have to trust and believe and know that everything is going to change for the best. How many of us are following this? Amen. And I can understand it's going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight because we've been built and raised up. Now, I was telling my kids that they're blessed because they have never entered the jungle. They didn't have to go to the jungle. They can live in this place that I'm talking about and never experience the jungle. And I hope and pray that as they get older, they don't start developing these cares of the jungle and feel as though that they have to survive on their own in the sense of no one's going to take care of them. But God says that the battle belongs to me. So that in itself right there should begin to start alleviating some of the fight. We fight too much. We need to start coming to a place where we establish these imaginations. Now think about the little jungle boy. You had these nice people trying to catch him. And what was he doing? Running around, trying to get away from them, doing every possible thing to snap at them. But why? Something was controlling his thoughts. Right away, those thoughts were, they're going to hurt me. They're going to hurt me. I can't let them catch me because they're going to hurt me. I can't let them have me because they're going to take me away from a place and put me somewhere where I'm not familiar with. And this is the same thing that's happening inside of us. We're afraid. We're afraid to let go. We're afraid to let this kingdom, this realm, take a hold of us and pull us out of the place where we're so familiar with. We're accustomed to. Where I'm talking is a foreign land to you. You don't have to prepare, though. Everything is prepared for you. You just got to come. You just got to come right into it. How do you get there? How do you get into the kingdom? How do you get yourself established? Well, one is surrender. Let it go. You got to stop holding on to this side. You know what I envision is, I envision God just trying to grab you and telling you, everything's going to be okay. Come on. Come on. And you're just like grabbing onto this tree with all your heart. And you're like, no, I'm not going. I'm going to hold on to my tree. And your trees are well rooted into the ground through traditions, through geographical locations, through lies that have been established in your life. And you're holding on, and he's like, just come on. Now, he's not a forceful God. He's a gentle God. And just like when you meet a wild dog. Has anyone ever met a wild dog before? Okay. They're funny, aren't they? They'll come around your house, eat your food, and they'll look at you. You know, and as soon as they see you, they might skirm off and run away. And you're like, no, no, don't run away. It's okay. No. You know, and then a couple days later, you know, you might think it left for good. And then a couple days later, all of a sudden, you see it looking at you. And then you're like, oh, wait, let me get you some water and let me get some food. And then they step back a little bit. And then you look out the window or something. And here the dog comes real gentle and sniffs the food and says, okay. Starts nibbling it. Well, these are the people that God is calling. They're nothing but just like this hurt, wounded, wild dog. And so if I had to say something, please don't take this offensive, but we're all like these wounded, wild, lost dogs. Just like the Jungle Boy, dropped off in the jungle somewhere, trying to survive and live on its own. And the whole time you have God and the kingdom and all his heavenly host over here trying to woo you in. Trying to woo you into him. He's been trying to woo you since the day you were born. Not just because you're listening to me right now. He's been there trying to woo you in since the day you were born. I truly believe that in the deep part of my heart, that God has called everybody that has been born into the kingdom of God. What hindered most of it is you knew that there was a place, you knew that there was something better, you knew something inside of you was something was missing and you didn't know what it was, and I am just here trying to tell you what it is. Everybody thinks it might be a better job. Everyone might think it might be a different lifestyle and marriage or geographical location or lifestyle or whatever. But it's not. It's the kingdom. You're missing the kingdom. And when you come into the kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. Everything that you think it is all in the kingdom. It's all in this place that has everything. The answer is in the kingdom. What you want to know, the food you want to eat, the things that are going to satisfy you is in the kingdom. Let's put it this way. Let's say you're hungry. I invite you over for dinner. You ask me, what's there to eat? You ate at my house once before. You knew my food was good. And I said to you, don't worry, you'll like it. What happens? All of your concerns and cares go away. You know it's going to be good. And what happens now is, ooh, I can't wait till I get to Jim's house and eat some dinner because I know, it's going to be yummy. Because you tasted it already. Right now, half of us has never even tasted my cooking. But if you ever tasted it, you might ask. But if I tell you don't worry about it, you're going to drop it really quick and you're going to have an excitement to get over there and eat it. Well, this is what God is saying too. He says, just come into the kingdom. Just come into where I dwell. Just come and sit down and dine with me. And I will guarantee you, you will be satisfied. I guarantee you, you will have everything that you will leave this house. Matter of fact, you probably won't want to leave. But if you do choose to leave, you will leave satisfied. But you'll never want to leave. You want to stay at my place. You want to hang out, stay there, and party. Laugh all day and have a good time, right? Because this is the kingdom. There was a scripture in this book called the Bible. And I'll refer to this book every once in a while. Not many of us know it. Don't go out of your way to figure it out. Just listen to me. I'll take care of it. But if you want to go in there and read it, go right ahead. Because it'll just confirm and back up what I'm about to tell you. But Jesus, who I love, who's in that book, he had the keys to the kingdom. He lived there. And there was a point where pressure came on him, as it does with all of us. And they came up to him and was really upset with him and said, where's the tax money? You need to pay. Where's the tax money? And he looked at him and said, who's on the coin? And he says, they say, Caesar, you owe Caesar money. You owe money, and it's time to pay. And he's like, okay. And he tells someone he didn't have to do it. He told somebody to go do it. Go down the lake. Catch a fish. Pull the money out that's due to Caesar out of the fish's mouth. Guy went down there. Started going fishing. Caught a fish. Opened up the fish's mouth. Found the money. Took the money, paid the taxes. Where was Jesus? He was in the kingdom. God did it. Jesus was just in the kingdom. God did it. God sent the guy. God sent the fish. God put the money in the fish's mouth. God gave Jesus the vision of the fish with the money in its mouth. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? God did it. But we don't live in the kingdom. That's why it's really bizarre. That stuff's a story. That stuff doesn't happen. I was sharing some of the stories that was happening over in other nations tonight. I never shared a lot of these stories because, you know what? It's just like the fish. How are you going to believe it? It's too far-fetched. No way. No way. You're right, not in your world. You're right, I'm a liar in your world. But in my world, it's natural. God can do anything. God does far beyond what you can comprehend or imagine. God takes care of all your needs according to his riches and glory. But I don't blame you. You're the little jungle boy that is freaking out in the jungle, screaming, while the nice little people are trying to capture you and give you a life. While the kingdom is trying to feed the little wild dog, putting food and water out there and kind of taking a couple of steps back and don't want to startle you, so he's leaving you alone and hoping that you can just begin to start trusting. And that's where it starts. Trust. You just got to start trusting. When I looked at my life, I said, is that the beginning of entering into the kingdom of God? To trust? When you trust, what happens? You start to stop fighting. You start coming to the water. You start coming to the food. You even let them start to pet you. Matter of fact, you get so obedient, you get into the airplane to fly to the next country or fly to the next place of paradise. We trust, and as we begin to trust, we surrender. And as quick as we trust, the faster we will surrender, the quicker we enter into the kingdom. The faster we enter into the kingdom, the quicker we get satisfied. We're not satisfied right now. And the reason is because we're not in the kingdom. Everything's going to be okay. If I said to you, John, God wants you retired, would you believe me? No. The first thing we got to do is become honest with ourselves. If we went real deep, you'd be like, you know what? You're right. But I'm lacking. I'm lacking something. But you're not lacking. You have it all. We all lack in our minds. But in our heart, we have everything. I'm happy for you. Because things are getting better. It's only a matter of time. And I can't wait. I'm getting very excited. I want to thank my God for answering my prayers and honoring yours. It's baby steps, but we're walking forward.
And I'm very, very grateful because you said yes in your heart. And because you said yes, he's going to honor it. And he's going to start revealing himself more and more to you. He's going to set you ablaze, and you're going to be on fire. I believe your calling, God, is to draw people to him. When I look at you, I see an evangelistic person, an anointing on your life to tell everybody about who he is. Your job is to go into the highways and the byways with joy and a testimony to tell everybody that what he did for you. And that in itself is going to draw a harvest here. That's what I see in you. No service like what I'm doing. Nope. Just telling everybody what he did. He's real. You'll never believe it. A stupid prayer cloth. I can't believe it. But it's like the fish that had all the coins in its mouth. In the kingdom, we have it all. You have a business that's about to start. You're going to be very, very tired until you learn this principle. As soon as you learn this principle and you apply it, stop caring so much. I know it's difficult for you. But you know what? I understand you. Because you've been alone for a long time. Your parents really didn't help out. Even though they said they would, they never were there. Disappointment happened left and right. Every time you turned around, you were disappointed. You put your trust in this person, you were disappointed. You put your trust in that person, you were disappointed. You were disappointed every time you turned around. And you have every right to feel the way you feel. I see it. Plain as day. I admire you because you kept yourself stable. And then you didn't show your sadness. You still tried to keep a happy face. But inside, you were crying. There's those areas that you had, those moments. And I feel like I'm ready to cry with you. But I want you to know he sees. And he's telling you, stop caring about it. I know it's hard. But he's saying, trust me. This is the beginning of entering into the kingdom. Trust. And everything will be okay. Opportunities will open up that you can't even see. Relationships will be established that you don't even know. Finances will come in and the support will be there and you won't even have a clue how it even came. He loves you deeply. And he's very grateful for your service. Even when you felt in your heart and you weren't sure it was right, repented. And you yielded to him. And you began to trust him. And as you began to trust him, he started to open up doors and opportunity. And he's about to spark another fire inside of you. Hold on tight. It's only the beginning of a life that you always hoped for. Couldn't quite pinpoint it, but you knew it was there. Let it come. Just let it come. God wants to change all of our lives.
He's merciful and kind, loving and gentle, full of forgiveness. He wants you to lay down the old life and come into a new life. There's a deep, deep rooted seed buried in your heart that you're not worthy. You've been taking an axe to it, and you've been chopping at the roots. And he's proud of you. But there's also another part that you didn't see, a deeper root. And it's called forgiveness. To forgive everything and don't hold yourself to it. Let it go. There it is. Let that anointing come and wash it away. What you experienced is his love. And that's God. That love takes the axe and chops the roots. That has established us into the jungle. You know, God's mercy and his love for all of us is so great, he completely understands the compassion and care for all of us is far beyond what we can imagine. We can't even fathom the love that he has for us. When he's about to take you under his wing in about another, I would say, a month, you will be well comforted, where you will think you've already died and went to heaven. Because the things that you care and hold on right now, you'll forget. And there'll even be some times where you'll say, oh my God, did I disown the world around me? You didn't disown them at all. You just came into your life. And your life is going to be with him. It's going to be paradise. And John, if I had a word for you, I see you as that lumberjack. Just you and nature. You got to get out of the city. It's not you. You belong in the woods. You're taking care of too much. And it's not your responsibility. How did you bind yourself up so tightly to something that God was setting you free from? Oh, how much do we live under a law? But God wants to set you free. It's like you don't belong in the city. You don't belong in the rat race. You don't belong taking care of the ones that you're taking care of. You're bound. You're binding yourself. What if I told you God wants you to cut everything off? Could you? You don't have to answer that. But there's a scripture that's coming to me. And one of them is asking, how do I get into the kingdom of God? And he says, sell all that you have. And he went away sorrowful. Are you walking away sorrowful? Man, it's a pinnacle point, isn't it? Oh, it's a horrible place, isn't it? He's not asking you to do it, though. But he's asking you to do it. How do you not do it and do it? Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Wait a minute. Let it go, but don't let it go. I'll refer back to what I said in the very beginning. Trying to discern the difference between a care and a care. The difference between the two, one's in the world, one's in the kingdom. The one in the world causes your heart to be very troubled. Causes to think that you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do this and you have to do that and you can't do this and you can't do that and you gotta. And the other one is, you know my heart. Nothing different. Other than you're out of one. And you gave the other one to him. The one is you're in it, and it's all about you making it. And the other one is, here it is, Lord. So if I had to say anything to you, John, get out of the city. Become that lumberjack. Stop worrying about making friends. Who cares about your enemies? Doesn't matter. Don't try to appease her. Don't worry about them. Does it really matter? John, you're too much of a person concerned about others. Too much. And you got to stop being so concerned about them. If I had to say your biggest care is the love for another. Now you would say, well, what's wrong with that? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Yes. But you're doing it. Let him do it. You either love me or you don't. You're going to see the burdens on your shoulders come off because you're driven and bound because of them. Where's your life? Where is it? On the weekend? On Shmonday? In between holidays? How about Monday? How about Tuesday? How about Wednesday? Why not? You need epiphany. It's time. If not, and you don't heed my words, years are flying by, aren't they, John? And before you know it, 15 years went by. I wanted to say 10, but I was quickly shut up and said 15. So it must be really flying for you. And you're going to look back and say, man, I lost 15 years of my life. Now, if I told you everything that you want would have been given to you already 15 years ago,
but you were walking around the desert, would you believe me? How long have you been divorced? 7 years. My man, Dennis. All I can say is he's very proud of you. And I'm going to keep saying that until I see that he's no longer proud of you. But I don't think that that's going to happen. The reason why is because his hand's been on you since the day you were born. And you kind of remind me of my kids. Somehow, somewhere, somebody has been praying for you and has been comforting you in your life. And you know who's popping into my mind, which I'm surprised, but your grandfather. And your grandfather has kept you out of the world, even though he's been a hard man. He has kind of kept you out of the world. The only thing I don't understand is why didn't he ever encourage you about the desire of your heart, of you being free in that musical area? He doesn't think that there's a life or a career in it. He thinks that you have to work with your hands or something. But I understand why. Because I can see it. It was just revealed to me. Because that's the way he was brought up. You have to work with your hands to make money. You can't bang on your drums all day and expect someone to give you money. But you know what, Dennis? You're teaching him something. He's actually coming to a place through you. And just recently, he's been changing, hasn't he? Getting better, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Thank you for being honest. And you know what's making him change? You. It's crazy. But he forsook everyone in your life. Your uncle, his son. He has a son, doesn't he? And he has taken you as his son. And so love him. Embrace him right now. Because I believe, for what I'm seeing right now, he's signing everything over to you. He loves you that much. So because you know this now, go out of your way to help him. Okay? He needs you right now. There's two people that I'm being shown right now, your mom and him. Right now, they need you. God is saying, Dennis, if you take care of them for a couple years, these next 2 years, devote yourself in taking care of their needs, bringing happiness. And happiness with your grandfather might just be going on to like a little small fishing trip with them or something. Start spending these little quiet moments with them. And God is saying in 2 years, give them 2 years in this area with your mom and him. And he's going to open up a door for you that's going to blow your mind. And all those questions that you had about your future will all be comforted. Can you give them 2 years? Give them 2 years. Thank you. Because I want to see God do some great miracle things in your life. And I've been praying about it. I said, Lord, he's so devoted and committed to your message. What do I need to give Dennis so that you will do extraordinary beyond what you can do for him? And he revealed this to me. He says, if you would tell Dennis for me to give grandfather and mom 2 years of a devoted, committed, loving life, I will open up a door for him and fill his life up completely. And I said to him, I said, Lord, that's a great deal. Because 2 years is nothing. If it wasn't true, I would never say it. You girls get ready, because you're in for an exciting ride.
That's all we get.
You get it all day long. What are you talking about? But I want to thank the world for listening. I guess we probably were cut off a long time ago. No? Oh, praise God. And those that are listening, I want to keep you in prayer. My heart goes out to those European nations. My heart goes out to the countries that have actually been, has birthed the terrorism. My heart goes out to those innocent ones that don't deserve the torment. I know you're questioning, you know, God, why? God, why did we do anything wrong? But I just truly believe that he is just saying to you, if you're listening, hear my words. You didn't do anything wrong. It's a place in our hearts that need to be established. And unfortunately, since the beginning of the foundations of the world, it goes far beyond this realm. We had a life that we have to live. And our hearts are established in a condition that needs to have a life to establish a new life. And that life, unfortunately, is conditioning your heart to a new life. But just rejoice in everything, and these things shall pass. Embrace the love of God, and he will do far above what you can hope for or even imagine. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. God bless. And this will end our night. Grab a coffee, grab a water or whatever. Give someone a gratitude of a how you doing, and see you later.